Hello and welcome to Wattcast. My name is Roger Watson, and these podcasts are dedicated to readings of various articles that I've had published in newspapers and magazines. They reflect my views on politics, the pandemic, and current affairs. Thank you very much for listening. Cultural Cringe. This is my column for the Country Squire magazine of the 5th of July 2023. I just love Chinese culture. I hear this often from people whose encounter with Chinese culture is limited to a weekly visit to the Yangtze River Chinese restaurant in town, or having watched some limited hangout documentaries by Michael Palin or Neil Ferguson on the BBC. My inevitable response is, which aspects of Chinese culture do you like? And offer them a list which includes, in no particular order, the constant surveillance, bullying of inferiors, the enforced and overwhelming hospitality, for example, being forced to attend a formal banquet within an hour of getting off a plane, the faux politeness, the gobbing in the street, which alas is still a thing, or the food, which in some parts of China verges on the inedible. Perhaps it's the world leading number of executions per blown off head of population, or maybe you just admire, can't have been all that bad, Mao Zedong. Take your pick. I've spent weeks on the bank of the genuine Yangtze River, and I can assure you there's little to like about Chinese culture. Of course, these Western admirers don't take you seriously. Their vision of Chinese food is the gloopy gunk that passes for sweet and sour sauce in our Chinese restaurants, which are nearly always Hong Kong Cantonese. Their vision of the Chinese people is a people who are always smiling and obliging. And let's not forget the most recent chestnut. China has so many people they can't possibly keep everyone under surveillance. Believe me, they do. Facial recognition and CCTV cameras are everywhere, many posing as speed cameras on the roads. The darkest and dankest back alley, should you have reason to venture there, has CCTV cameras in every financial transaction, except with very few that can still be carried out with the reduced supply of cash, is recorded via the ubiquitous smartphone app WeChat. Ironically, while China plans to print less of its own currency, it's printing currency for many other countries in the region and beyond, for example, Brazil and Poland. These banknotes, hurled from China, where I'm currently making my first visit since 2019, since the world was gripped by the insanity of the COVID-19 restrictions. What is there to report? The country that gave us the great gift of the novel coronavirus SARS-CoV-2 seems to have recovered remarkably well. There's hardly a sign that there ever was a pandemic, which is worth comparing with my local Sainsbury's, which still has advice about social distancing and face masks at the entrance. It seemed a lot more difficult to pass immigration than before, but once you're in, things seem pretty much as they were before. Noisy, chaotic, fragrant and fast. I'm here because in retirement from my UK university, I was offered a job in China, and after nearly 20 years as a visiting academic, entered the ranks of approximately 18,000 foreign academics employed in Chinese universities. I'm well paid, and I only have to visit a few times a year. The rest of my work can be done from home in the UK. Which brings me to the next question I get asked. If you dislike China so much, how can you work there? Well, I don't dislike China. In fact, I love it. The country is vast, and the differences in geology, food and temperature from Guangdong province on the Pearl River Delta to Shaanxi province on the Mongolian border are likewise vast. The baking heat in some areas in the middle of summer, like Luzhou and Sichuan province where I work, is nicely offset by Kunming in Yunnan province, where pollution is minimal and the climate remains temperate all year round. In the bamboo forest, where I have just spent a relaxing weekend with my wife, the views are stunning, with early morning walks which take you past hidden lakes, over beautiful bridges, to unexpected villages. At least we were a spectacle for the local children. It's 11 years since I've seen another Guizi, polite translation foreigner, correct translation white devil, here in Luzhou. With nearly 4 years of isolation, many of the children here will never knowingly have seen a Westerner. But what wins me every time in China is the people. Despite the dreadful regime under which they live and the oppressive culture which constrains their very thoughts, they are resilient, hard-working and sociable. No matter how early you go out for a run, even if it's still dark, you will see groups of old ladies out exercising and swimmers attached to the obligatory boys floating in the Yangtze River. Whether under the baking hot sun or torrential rain, nothing changes. In either case, the brollies go up and life just carries on. Once you've cut through the obfuscation of culture and learn not to take in Chinese culture as an excuse for stupidity or bad behaviour, the mask drops and people begin to open up. They hate rudeness but admire consistency. And the only way to win over people here is to stick to your guns and not to compromise your own principles. Westerners are not employed in China to teach them how to be more Chinese, but for them to learn what they can from what we do better than they do. We can also learn a great deal from the Chinese, their work ethic and their productivity of the academic staff and graduate students I work with here would frighten the bejeebers out of most academic snowflakes in UK universities. Chinese culture, therefore, is mostly a brigadoon-type fabrication. It's a tourist office view of the country projected to show the best version of China, and as a result, what gets into the consciousness of people who either never go or only take part in organised tours. Forget the illusory hunt for Chinese culture. You may not like it when you find it. Get to know the people who have to live under it, and then tell me if you still love it as much as you think you do.
This podcast was produced in association with youthpublications.com.